What's going on, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And we are here with the final conference preview. The most exciting one, I might say. I think Wal would too. That is the Big Ten, Wal. We're here.
I'm excited to talk about the Big Ten. The reason is I like talking about the best teams in the country. I like talking about the best conference in the country. Some of the most competitive football games. We're not talking about air it out 90 yards downfield. Let's see who has the ball last. We're talking about some real football being played on real football fields. A couple of them that still have natural grass, which is quite incredible this day and age. But I'm excited for it, Woj. Let's jump into the Big Ten, baby.
Illinois. First team up to bat, Wal. Illinois. Brett Bielema, second season. Loses some guys here. They had a good defense last year, 12.8 points per game, which is awesome. And it's not just because the Big Ten doesn't score points, people. It's because they have good defenses. But yeah, it is. They're going to lose a lot. They lose Devin Witherspoon, NFL. They're going to lose some offense there, and Tommy DeVito and Chase Brown. But they're going to pick up Luke Altmaier from Ole Miss as a transfer quarterback. So 5 is the win total here, Wal. What are your thoughts?
I like how you mentioned Chase Brown, because he was a lot of what Illinois football was last year, right, Woj? He carried that team on his back for, you know, 7 of those 8 wins they had. They went 8-5 last year. What I like to see with this team, especially with that new coach in his third year, which is kind of a key year for a coach, when you get into that third year, you're starting to get some of those players that you recruited. You're starting to get some of that program that you built rather than the coach before him, which we won't mention his name on this podcast. Being from Illinois, you know, we like to see Illinois do well. I don't want them beating Iowa or anything like that, but I'd like to see them do well. I hope they get over that 5 number, but it's a hard number to pick. Toledo, that's a game they can lose, Woj. Kansas, that's a game they can lose. And those are two that the books probably have them winning. Penn State, you know, they're going to lose that for sure. Florida Atlantic, they can lose that game. So you can see them going, basically losing the first 5 games of the season, no problem. From there, it's tough to catch up to that 5 number. I think I'm just going to go under on our, you know, where we live, the Illini, the Fighting Illini. I'm going under 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see 5 wins right there. They need to get one more in conference. Let's go over. I'm taking the over. Their defense was too good to fall off that bad. I like Brett Bielema's new rehabilitating of whatever it is over there. They did lose Chase Brown, and they didn't transfer any more running backs in. I don't know if that was by design or just no one wants to go to Illinois, which that very likely could be. But I am going to take the over here. I feel like they can win their non-conference games. They always win one game a season that they shouldn't win. Last year was against my Hawkeyes, so I'm going to take the over, Wal.
They're not going to beat the Hawkeyes ever again, won't you? We're going to crush them. One thing we should look at, and it's going to agree to your point, is how well the team's been progressing, which I never really got into, but in 2020, and again, that was COVID year, so let's put some quotation marks on it, but they were 2-6. 2021, they were 5-7. 2022, I mentioned they're 8-5. So it is a program that's progressing up. Maybe they can continue that progression. It's tough for me to see them getting that 8 wins or more this year, but above that 5 number, I guess that's a point in your favor. I'm still sticking with the under, though.
All right, let's move on to the bottom feeder of a division in the Big Ten, and that is the Indiana Hoosiers, Walt. 3.5. What are your thoughts here?
I don't know. It's a team that's tough to make anything out against. What was that game last year? It was the Nebraska game? I can't remember where they played pretty well. They played Ohio State pretty well, too.
Didn't they play Nebraska at the beginning of the season overseas? That was the big game.
It wasn't the first game of the season. That was the third or fourth game of the season. Northwestern and Nebraska played, I believe. If you're putting me on the spot a bit, but I believe. I think it was Ohio State, maybe I'm thinking of. They played Ohio State pretty closely last year, and that changed towards the end of the game. But for the first half, that was the game we were talking about with Indiana. Like, oh, my goodness, Ohio State might lose a football game, right? Which would have been absurd for a team like Indiana to beat Ohio State. It was probably Ohio State, I think, was plus 30, plus actually more than that, plus 40 at the time. And Indiana played them well. So I do see Indiana getting a game like that this year. And then you got to look for those other 2 wins, because we're at 3.5. Indiana State, there's one of them. Akron, there's one of them. So now we just need one more game out of that you know, grueling schedule they have of at Maryland, at Michigan, Rutgers, at Penn State, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State, ending with Purdue. I'm still going to go over, though, for the reasons I mentioned. I think that they get that one squeaker that they should not win at all. I think that they beat Indiana State. I think they beat Akron. And then they surprise us with one more. Over on these guys.
All right. All right. Indiana actually picks up probably the best transfer on the defensive side of the ball this year in Adrian Carter coming over from Western Michigan. At 13.5 tackles for loss, 7 sacks. He's going to be a beast for them to help out on a defense that allowed over 30 points per game. And in the Big Ten, that's not good. It was 33.9 to be exact. That's ouch. But they do just return 2 starters from that defense, so it's going to be a brand new overhaul. They pick up quarterback Tavion Jackson from Tennessee. We don't know anything about him. And then Christian Turner as a running back from Wake Forest, who played fairly decent. So it'll be a couple guys there, but I am taking the under. This is a team that's not very good and doesn't return very many people. How Tom Allen went on that stretch that went 14-7 from 2019 to 2020 is beyond me, but they did it somehow. I miss the old days of the beastly running backs that Indiana used to have. Remember those days, Will?
Yeah, they were fun, and they're always fun to put on my fantasy team, even though they never really got any points. Every once in a while, you'd be excited. Oh, he broke off one for 40 yards or something. Because, you know, that was never their goal. Their goal was to get, you know, in college football or the NFL for that matter, you only have to get, you know, over that 3.5 mark, and you're dominating football games. And that was their goal. I don't know that it's the case anymore over there.
All right, moving on, Wall. Here we go, buddy. Iowa Hawkeyes, over under of 8. Wall, what are your thoughts on that? That's actually fairly high considering a team that only scored 17.7 points on the offensive side of the ball last year per game. Well, let me rephrase that. Most of those points were from the defense, though.
Well, a lot of them are from the defense, but a point counts as a point. So, here's what I'll say. I'll say this about, being a Hawkeye fan and someone that understands Iowa Hawkeyes football mentality, it's to win games on defense. It's to play a cover two. It's to bend, don't break, which is what the Hawkeyes do. And it's tough hearing week in and week out, kind of like you alluded to. You do it in more of a joking fashion, but people saying, well, this football team's no good. They can't score points. You know, the goal is not to score points, actually. The goal is to win the football game. You can win the football game by not letting the other team score any points too. That's how you can win a football game. All those people talking, all those people putting them down, you just mentioned that number's at 8, right, Woj? Hey, let's look at where the people that actually have to put their money where their mouth is rather than just flap their jaw. They got this number at 8. That means the Iowa Hawkeyes, they are saying, this is a football team you should respect this year. Obviously, my pick is to go the over, Woj. There's absolutely no question about that. I think that they are in contention for the Big Ten championship. I hope that when they do get to that Big Ten championship this year, they perform a little better, because that hasn't been the case. But I think they get over that. And I think part of it is going to be, I mentioned it before on a podcast with sportsbettingintel.com, SBI. They have podcasts too for sports betting if anybody's interested. I mentioned how betting Iowa overs is something you might want to look forward to this season, because they renegotiated Brian Ferentz's contract to incentivize him to score points specifically. And I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot of, you know, assistant coaches, or I shouldn't say coordinators or head coaches, that have that in their contract. They put that in his contract. He has taken a bit of a salary draw too and moving it into performance bonuses. So his dad being the head coach, Mr. Kirk Ferentz, you have to think he's going to give him the green light to do what he needs to do to be successful. Over Hawkeyes, give me it all day.
All right, best player on the team is our punter. Is that not a correct statement?
Get the hell out of – why do I do these podcasts with you, Woj? Cade McNamara is now the best player on this football
team. Okay, okay, okay. All right.
Yeah, you get me riled up over here.
Oh, okay. All right, all right. We do pick up. There's the key pickup. Cade McNamara, new quarterback. We actually have a quarterback that we know has thrown balls before and receivers have caught them, so that actually is a big improvement. We picked up Eric All, who's also Michigan's tight end. Not that big of a pickup, considering we have very good tight ends as it is right now. Caleb Brown, wide receiver from Ohio State. Actually, not that bad of a wide receiver. didn't get that much action, but is a decent player. So picked him up, which will help Cade McNamara. I mean, the thing about it is Iowa's got a lot of guys to pick up on the defensive side of the ball. Jake Campbell's gone, and then quarterback Riley Moss is gone to the NFL. Cooper DeJean is still there, who's an awesome player, probably one of the best defensive backs in college football. So look for him to be one of those guys that is able to get some interceptions and score some points and turn things in. While I'm not too worried about this team, somehow Ferentz finds a way to win games and do it. They always play to their opponent, which sometimes hurts them, sometimes helps them. Expect for that at Penn State game to be a killer. I'm excited for that. Expect the at Wisconsin game to be a killer. Other than that, their schedule is cupcake. So looking for an awesome time this year to watch them. I'm actually going to go watch. I think I'm going to Wrigley Field to watch them play Northwestern. So excited to see a blowout there. Can't wait for our Hawkeyes this year. I'm taking the over, Wall.
I love it. If you didn't take the over, I'd drive to your house and I'd punch you in the face. One thing I'll say is we talk about football teams, and you want to talk about a good football team. It's a football team that makes the bowl season consistently. Iowa, for more than the past 5 years, you can go through any of the teams we just talked about. Not many of them can say, and I'm talking about all the conferences, not a whole lot of them, you know, aside from your Alabamas and stuff, not a lot of them can say that they made a bowl game every year. So it's just, they make good choices. They don't play the football that people want to see, but that's not the goal. The goal is to win football games. That's what Iowa does. They do it again this year.
All right, well, the Turtles, Maryland Terrapins.
Petition to get that name change just to straight Turtle. No reason for this Terrapin.
It should just be the Turtles. Screw it. Ninja Turtles, the Maryland Ninja Turtles, with Tagovailoa behind the helm there. Yeah, and running back Romney Herbie, who actually had a phenomenal end of the season last week. Maryland has a chance to match last season, which, again, I think they should do more. They had 8 wins last season, by the way. Maryland, I feel like, should do more with what they have on offense, but they just never seem to be able to get it done. I think a big part is their coach. I'm just going to say that out here. I know some people like him, but not a big fan. Maryland, I'm taking the under. I can't. They don't win close games. They just don't do it. They make mistakes because of their coaching. I'm taking the under.
And I'm one of those people, Woj. I like Loxley. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's the best coach in the nation by any means, but he came into this program and they were definitely a sub 500 team. And that's putting it lightly. That's putting it a little bit in their favor. And Loxley made them a team that people were talking about on ESPN. Week in and week out. Took a Viola over there. I know he's a big favorite of yours because of, you know, how well he performs and just the numbers that he puts up. I think that this team has a good chance of going over that number. I'm not going to pick that as my pick. I am going to take the under 7.5 for this one. But this is a team that, being an Iowa Hawkeyes fan, for example, I'm glad that we don't have to play Maryland this year.
I'm with you. And it's not that I don't like Loxley. I think he's a great guy. He does a lot of things for the community. He's an awesome individual. I just don't think he can coach down the stretch. I think he's a coordinator. I just don't think he makes the right calls for his team in the certain situations. And Tagovailoa, as good as he is, he's not his brother. He can't do the things his brother did. That's why he's not playing at Alabama and he's playing at Maryland.
That makes sense. I mean, the thing is, they were a good football team last year, was it? They were 8-5, and to finish the season, they, you know, their losses, 3 of the last 4, they played Wisconsin, they played at Penn State, and they played Ohio State. So you're talking about playing the best teams in the conference, and that's why you got 3 of those 5 losses.
And they're going to have to do it again. They got Ohio State, they got Penn State, Michigan. It's going to be a rough ride again for them this year, just because they do have to play those people every single part of the season. They're in the wrong division. I'm glad they're in that division, like you said, because if they were in ours, it'd be a fight, Wall. So thankfully we don't have to play them every year. And Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan do every year, because it's one of those teams like you talked about as well. They could win games, but I'm taking the under. 7.5 just seems a bit steep for me. Even though they did win 8 games last year. We'll just see. I think the next team we're going to talk about is one of those teams that could upset them And that's Michigan State Spartans at 5.5. Well, what are your thoughts about Michigan State and the Sparties?
Michigan State's a team that can, you know, they can beat any football team on any day. I don't think they're necessarily going to be the favorite every game that they play this year,
especially
at that 5.5 number. I do agree that, you know, a team, this is why you love watching Big Ten football. You get a team like Michigan State playing a team like Maryland. It's a good football team, and they are going to play. They're going to play the fourth game of the season, looking at here from the Michigan State side of the ball. But we're talking totals on the season over 5.5. I'll read off the schedule. Central Michigan, that's a team that you got to watch out. You pull that MAC team, whoever you are, whatever football program you are, watch out for Central Michigan to bring it. They are not like the other directional Michigans. Richmond, that's a win for Michigan State. Washington, I'm excited for that one, Woj. Are you excited for that Pac-12 Big Ten matchup?
I'm excited. I get excited for that.
Me too. And I think they're going to have a little bit of blood in their mouth from the game last year. They're going to be out there looking to make a statement. But then they play the Maryland team we talked about. They're at Iowa. You know, that's a loss. At Rutgers, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State. I don't see it. I'm going to go under 5.5 on this one for Sparty.
Yeah, as much as I just talked about Maryland and having to play Michigan State, I mean, maybe Michigan State wins that, but they don't get 6 wins. It's under for me. They lose way too much. Wall. They lose Peyton Thorne, receiver Keenan Coleman. They lose Jaden Reed, who was another big, huge receiver there. They got an influx of transfers to try to fill into those. But, I mean, am I wrong in saying that they seemed like a pretty competent team towards the end of the season last year as far as passing? Because they used to be known primarily for running teams because they had great running backs the last couple of years, but they looked like they could pass the ball and move it down the field. But now this year, I just don't see it well.
Well, one thing I want to bring up too is a point I don't think you made it that you always made to me last year with DFS. You were looking for something specific with Michigan State, no? Do I need to jog your memory for you with their defense there on passing defense?
Oh, yes. Passing defense is atrocious. If you're playing Michigan State, you play whatever quarterback is playing against Michigan State. I do remember that now. It might hold the same true 30.4 points per game, which is awful. And most of people just torch them in the air. Their secondary was absolutely god awful. I'll probably hold that true this year. Who are they playing their first game? You got Central Michigan, Richmond, probably not going to be in the board. You got Washington. Gosh, what is his name at Washington? I forgot the Indiana transfer. Well, can you jog my memory here?
Indiana transfer to Washington?
Wasn't he was he not Indiana? Maybe I'm confusing that. It is Penix Jr. Wasn't he? He was from Indiana.
Oh, Penix was from Indiana. You're right. He changed his career around with it. That was a smart move.
Yes. 9-16. Expect to be on the board for DraftKings. 4 p.m. game. Take Penix Jr. all day long to rip them up a new one. But no, I am. I'm taking the under. I just don't see it. They're not a very good football team. They lose way too many key players, and it's question marks in the future for them. So, moving on to one of the big teams here, the big dogs. Well, the big dogs, they share an over under with Ohio State, and that's the Michigan Wolverines at 10.5. And I like the over because I think that they can do it for a third year in a row and beat the big dog, Ohio State. What are your thoughts? That's all I have to go. I mean, what else do you say about a team that has such an awesome defense, questionable coach calls in certain decisions, even though there shouldn't be? I think he overthinks things, which knowing him, it's pretty obvious. But yeah, I'm loving Michigan, and the Ohio State Michigan game at the end of the season is going to be a barn burner again, Walt.
It is, and I'm excited for that game, and I'm excited for what might be the most exciting. Remember, they're getting rid of the East and the West over in the Big Ten next year as far as division, so this might be the last time that we see this division decided like this. It's always exciting to see. I just love that game. I'll agree with you. As far as Michigan Wolverines football team specifically, you're talking about a team coached by Jim Harbaugh. A guy I think is a great coach. Yes, he's got off-field issues he's dealing with right now. Yes, he's going to be sitting out a couple games. How can I air quote this online or on the podcast? Like, not coaching I don't understand
practices still. I mean, it's not
he's not. Oh, so that's I'm doing air quotes. Nobody can see. Yeah, he's not coaching those first three or four games, whatever they ended up agreeing on. I didn't actually follow it that much because I don't think it really affects the teams that much. They play East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers for the games in question. So missing Jim Harbaugh again, quote unquote, not coaching on the sidelines. I don't think Michigan loses those games because of it. But not only you got Harbaugh, you got McCarthy, JJ McCarthy. He made his decision last year. And you know what? I think it was a good decision. It was good for Iowa. I'll tell you that much. They got Blake Corum. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about Blake Corum. He just tears through offenses. I don't know how many yards after contact he has. I should have probably looked it up so I could have quoted it, but I can guarantee it's a lot. Yards after first touch, it's a lot because he runs hard. He puts the team on his back. We're talking about a 10.5 number. They could still lose to Ohio State and get that over. I think they do beat Ohio State anyways, but I'm going over 10.5 on the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, I'm right with you. And I think you're missing the other part of Blake Corum there, Wall. One of the most important parts about that. Yeah, he can do all those things, but what else does he have? He has Donovan Edwards to come in and do whatever he does the same way. They have two of the best running backs in college football on their team. Like, both of these guys are going to the NFL. It's remarkable what they have there. They still have JJ McCarthy coming back. They have seven starters on the defense still there, most of which the backups that are starting this year have played before. So I'm not worried about anything for Michigan football. I think this is the year, as long as Hardball doesn't hardball himself, as I like to say it. And that's the overthinking part. I'm loving Michigan Wolverines. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. They just can control the game so well. It's just when they get to the playoffs, they need to get over that hump of not overthinking things and play their game. So excited to watch Michigan football this year. Go Blue. Other than Hawkeyes, I hope we see you in the championship game. When we get JJ McCarthy and a McNamara rematch on opposite side of the field, how cool would that be? But we'll digress and we'll move on. We're going to go to the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who is one of the competing teams on Iowa in the West, at an over-under of 7. Are you rowing the boat? Oh, hold on. I want to go back to Michigan. Their first game is versus Eastern Carolina, and you mentioned that, easy wins. They don't have Holton Allers anymore over at East Carolina, the chicken with his head cut off, Wall. So maybe the new quarterback can give him a run for his money.
We'll see. I don't
Do you remember that guy? It was the craziest, one of a great DFS player. But whenever you watched the game, it literally looked like a chicken with his head cut off, not knowing how to do anything, but he scored points and scored DFS points. It befuddled me, Wall.
Well, I won't say who I think it is. I'll give you a hint. It's somebody from the SEC, and he's also a quarterback that looks like a chicken with his head cut off.
I know that one too, but yeah.
Okay. I won't say it on air, but as far as that East Carolina-Michigan game, I mean, you think East Carolina is going to pick it up with a new quarterback? Well, you might as well take them because you're getting 36.5 points. I mean, or take them straight up. You're getting plus 2,000, 2K on your $100 bet. So I don't think it's a worry for Michigan.
All right. Well, again, we digress. We're moving on to Minnesota Golden Gophers. 7 is the over-under. Wall, thoughts on Minnesota? Are you rowing the boat this year?
No, but I did see there's these books. They're Mr. Potter and Tabby. They're kids' books about, like, I don't know, grandpa and his cat that do weird things, and it's always Mr. you got to check it out. I put it on our social media. So what I did is I tweeted it out, and there's a book called Mr. Potter and Tabby Row the Boat. And I was like, this is Minnesota Golden Gophers, like their PR team getting out there and trying to these are the books that my kids are reading, Woj. They're trying to get into our minds and think, hey, the Golden Gophers, they're a good football team. They're not getting in my mind because I'm still hesitant to bet on this team. I'm hesitant to bet their win total over. I understand PJ Fleck, and I'm glad we didn't have Hardways on for this episode talking about Minnesota. That would be a long rant on how awful he is, but I disagree. I think PJ Fleck is a good coach. I don't like some of the things he does. I'll agree with that. But 7 years in, last year they were 9-4. They were a good football team. I get it. Same with Iowa. We're not in the best division in the conference, but we are in the best conference. So that's part of it. Looking through the schedule, Nebraska, Eastern Michigan, North Carolina, Northwestern, Louisiana, Michigan, Iowa, at Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, it doesn't get better. State, keep going.
Illinois, Purdue, at Purdue, at Ohio State, and then finish off with Wisconsin in that rivalry game. I mean, that's a tough schedule. I'm going under. Mr. Potter and Tabby, you're not going to get into my mind. Under Gophers.
Yeah, the boat's going downstream, Lal. Yeah. I mean, there's not much excitement there about that schedule. That is a under for me as well. That is a tough one. They just became, now they're in, they have all these mistreatment allegations coming out on PJ Fleck. And I think one of the things you keyed in on there is you don't agree with everything he does. Do you agree on him running great running backs into the ground to the point where they don't make the NFL? Because that's what he does. Muhammad Ibrahim is not there this year. Trey Potts is transferred. We'll get to him later. This is one of those teams that is losing some key positions there, and that's at running back, and that's what they love. Sean Taylor from Western Michigan is transferring over. Again, I just don't see it. I don't see them beating that schedule, and that schedule is, I mean, it you can see it on there. There's not seven wins. So I'm going to take the under on this one too, Will.
And the experts have it at the seventh most difficult schedule in the nation. The seventh most, you get in the top 10, it's all pretty much the same, but the seventh, that's a tough schedule. Under, I think, is the bet.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Nebraska, Cornhuskers, over under of 6. Interesting team. Matt Rhule is now the coach over the head coach over there in Nebraska. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. But Matt Rhule, head coach over in Nebraska, can he change Scott Frost's devastating awfulness around Wall? This is like, you know, Hardways has his board of awful coaches. Scott Frost is number one in mine.
Well, he didn't perform well. I think Scott Frost did well at UCF. He didn't perform well when he was at Nebraska. There's a little question about that. I don't question that he loved the school or he tried. He just, you know, he didn't come through. But we're talking about a Nebraska football team that has over-under wins at 6. Matt Rhule, we talked, if you guys didn't catch it, we aired a Big 12 preview episode and we talked about Baylor. All those good things we said, not all of them, but a lot of those good things we said about Baylor came from Matt Rhule developing that program. Right. Well, they were somebody in 2015, 16. We weren't talking about them. And then 17, 18, 19, when Rhule was there, you know, he developed that program. And I think maybe he can do the same with Nebraska. Your question was about Scott Frost. I kind of brushed it aside because I'm torn up on what happened there. If we did this podcast maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I would probably be taking the under on Nebraska. But at the gym, I've got a lot of friends that are in Nebraska. People, you wouldn't believe this, would you? The gym's by us. You know how many of these people are wearing Nebraska gear in the gym? It's insane. Like,
Cornhuskers.
Yeah, I know. They're littering the gym with this Nebraska stuff. And, you know, I always got to, if I see one of them, I got to let them know how ugly their shirt is. So I go up and talk to them. And then the conversation developed. And the more I'm talking to the fans that are, you know, more into the program, know more about it, they're saying that Nebraska, you know, they're going to have a good season. Obviously, the Nebraska fans, but their reasoning is that Matt Rhule is doing a very good job of in-state recruiting, and he's developing this program. It gets the players excited. It gets the program excited. I think that that excitement, that new coach, that change might lead this team to get over that 6 wins. We're talking about just winning half your games is a push. You know, actually, it's a over. So I'm going over on Nebraska.
You know what, Wall? I'm going to agree with you here. I don't mind Matt Rhule, and yeah, Baylor and Temple disasters are one thing, but he comes into it's hard to say this, but a better situation than both of those were when he went 3-21 with both of those teams. He picked up Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech. Now, Jeff Sims is known to be a prominent passer because they did lose Casey Thompson. I don't know if you remember that from last year. He went to FAU. But they pick up Jeff Sims, and then one of the biggest ones I like, they picked up Billy Kemp IV from Virginia, who was a DraftKings cash game phenom. Ark Gilbert from Georgia. I'm not sure I know anything about him, but I've seen the name before as some pass catchers. And they pick up running back Anthony Grant. So it's one of those things where they can make something happen here with a new slate. I think Matt Rhule is due. I think Nebraska is due. I think their fans are due for something new here. I think the Scott Frost situation, it's one of those things where it's like Lockley. I don't think Scott Frost is a bad guy. I just don't think what they were doing there was the right thing. I think they needed to start fresh. They need to get somebody in there that has some sort of name, even though he did go 3-21 at Baylor and Temple. Just something new and try it. And I think this is it in the right direction. It's going to be interesting to see what their offense looks like under Jeff Sims, but I'm excited to see it. They're not going to beat Iowa. I know that. So I'm going to take the over. I'm going to go with you. I think they're one of those teams that is going to catch you off guard in the way they, I think the way they have it set up and the way it looks on paper, it looks really good for a Big Ten West team. I'll say that. Does it beat a Big Ten East team? No, but does it compete against West teams? Yes. So I'm going to go with Nebraska Cornhuskers on the over, but just not beating Iowa. Next up on the slate, and I put money on this one, and I can't wait to cash in on it, is the Northwestern Wildcats at 6.5. With all the off-field allegations, Wall, and all the shit going on, all the people transferring away. What are your thoughts on the Northwestern Wildcats here?
Well, we're lucky we're here in Illinois. We can't bet on Illinois teams, so I have an excuse. Well, I can't bet on them.
I might have an in.
Okay, there you go. Well, you don't say that on a recorded podcast.
I didn't say that, DraftKings. Okay. Sorry.
My bad. And Northwestern Wildcats program, it's just not a bet you want to make. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe this fires up the team. And these off-field allegations, you can look at them yourself, look into them. Pat Fitzgerald, someone I mentioned earlier in the podcast, fired just on the spot. They don't want to deal with it. They're dealing with also, it doesn't get brought up anymore. It's kind of been shoved under the carpet. They're dealing with the locals. They're trying to build a new stadium. The locals argue with them, suing them. There's just so much going on with this Northwestern Wildcat program. I don't think you want to put a bet on them throughout the season, one way or another. The totals, definitely not. Who knows what happens? You know, we're talking about all the way in December, Woj. Who knows what happens up until December? We're looking at their schedule at Rutgers, UTEP, at Duke, Minnesota, Penn State, Howard, at Nebraska, Maryland, Iowa, easy loss, at Wisconsin, Purdue, at Illinois. I'm looking through that. I mean, we got to make one, right? That's what we said we'd do for the fans. We got to make a pick. I'm just going to throw something up there. I'm going to go with, let's just say, the over, Woj.
Holy moly. Okay. 7 wins for the Northwestern Wildcats. You know, they work in odd years. We've talked about this last year.
Well, you have. You've talked about this.
And it didn't work out the last time I did that. So we're going to continue to go the under here and keep with the years. This is a team that's in dire straits here, okay? They picked up Ben Bryant, which was awesome. Quarterback from Cincinnati once Luke Fickell left. Great pickup there. Problem is they don't have anybody else. So they don't have their key running back, Evan Hall, which they had last year, which I'm not too worried about because Northwestern picks up pretty good running backs. Not too worried about their offensive line because it's Northwestern. It's just like Iowa. They produce offensive linemen. What I am worried about is just the lack of offense they had last year and not being able to do anything. And now they're losing some playmakers. They gain a significant upgrade at quarterback, but they don't have anybody to do anything. They just don't have the players. Well, 13.8 points per game. That's worse than Iowa's. And that's just because their defense doesn't score as much as Iowa. it's one of those things that I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that they don't have any playmakers in any position other than their quarterback. I'm going to take the under on this one. I think it's going to be a struggle for Northwestern, which is a sad story at the end of the day overall anyways. So let's go under 6.5. I am making a bet on that, as much as it's sad to say, but just not.
No, you're not, Woj.
Not from me. I'm not.
You're not making a bet on that, remember?
I'm not. All right, Ohio State Buckeyes, the other big dog eating over there in the East. 10.5, Wall. Are you eating? Well, I already know you're picking Michigan, so you're not eating quite as heavily. You're not having the steak tonight, right?
Well, I am actually, Woj. I'm going to throw you off because they don't have Iowa. So that one loss they get to Michigan, I think they might go perfect. Let's boil it down, and I'll make my pick as we go. Let's look at the SBI chances right now. We're looking at 100% chances at 51%. So SBI is saying it's better chances of going under than over. I'm looking at their schedule: Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, Notre Dame, Maryland, Purdue, Penn State, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan State, Minnesota, Michigan. That's no pushover schedule. I mean, that's top 27th best, hardest strength of schedule, I should say, in the nation. I mean, it's a hard schedule. They could probably drop one other than Michigan. We can look at the lines, actually, on DraftKings. I'm looking right now at the Ohio State-Michigan game all the way. November 25th is when they're playing, but they have a lineup for it. They have Ohio State as the dog in this one, Loj. Ohio State's getting +2.5. Michigan is home at the Big House. But obviously, that's a key game. That's a pivot game. Where's the other game they're going to lose? Well, Penn State's going to be a tough team this year. Not a team we talked about yet. We'll talk about them next, I think. They're playing at Purdue. You know, if you're a Buckeye fan, you don't want to go to Purdue and play. It doesn't work out the past couple of times. They have Notre Dame. That's another team they can lose to. As I'm talking through this, Woj, I'm kind of thinking about going under on these guys on the season, that 10.5 number.
Whoa. I love it. I love it. I can't wait to get the real John Dupler on our podcast at some point this year to talk some Buckeyes with us, because we might grill them after a couple losses. But don't disregard that Rutgers game at 11-4, who is in the last 2 years have played him within a score. For some reason, Rutgers has it out for Ohio State. They always play him key. They play him strong. But, I mean, losing guys like C.J. Stroud, you have question at quarterback. They haven't named one yet. You do have maybe not even arguably the best receiving core in college football. I'm just going to say it. They have the best receiving core in college football, probably the second best running back team in college football behind Michigan, and Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams. So two of the best teams, I think, offensively, are in the Big Ten, and that's Michigan and Ohio State. Now, defensively, Michigan is really good. It's just they need to get out of their head and play a playoff game right. Ohio State has struggled on that end as of recently in recent years. So for that fact, and the fact that they haven't named a quarterback yet, I'm taking the under. I'm going to go with you. 10.5. So that's 10 wins I'm counting on the board here. So they're going to lose something other than Michigan there. And I just, the team we're going to talk about next is going to be improved. So it's one of those things that they're going to have to play the team we're talking about next. That's Penn State, by the way. I do like the under there. As much as I hate to say it, they're one of the better teams in the college football, but they have struggled mightily on the defensive side of the ball in games that they shouldn't. So I'm going to take the under on Ohio State. Sorry, Buckeye fans.
Wow.
Michigan is the new top dog in town. You've lost to them 2 years in a row. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
No, you can't. And the thing about it is we mentioned, I mentioned how Michigan was the favorite to win that game against Ohio State. But if you look at to make the playoffs, Ohio State is better odds at a yes, and they're at -120. So you're not getting 100 back if you bet 100. They're saying that they're more probable to make the playoffs than not to make the playoffs. Michigan, on the other hand, is even money. So there's a 50-50 shot they're saying there. And then that's to make the playoffs. We're talking about, if we want to talk about national championship, to win the national championship, Ohio State is also at shorter odds than Michigan at +700, Michigan +800. So yes, Michigan is expected to win that game against Ohio State, but Ohio State is expected by the lines makers to do better throughout the season or have a better shot to make the playoffs and win the national championship, which is kind of weird.
It is weird, Wall, but am I wrong in saying Ryan Day's teams throughout the seasons that he's been there start slow and strong?
No, you're not wrong. They do. They progressively
even with
get
the,
better.
Even with the Michigan losses, they still look really good at the end of the seasons. And I just don't I mean, you're going to have to play at Notre Dame. And as much as Notre Dame, I don't like Notre Dame, you have to play at Notre Dame. That's not an easy place to go play. Touchdown Jesus is looking down on you there. It's an aggressive situation for a Catholic school. And then you got to play Penn State and Washington back-to-back weeks, Penn State in Wisconsin and at Wisconsin. And then you got to play at Rutgers, who for some reason you have a kryptonite with. It's one of those things where I see losses in that threesome right there. And maybe Notre Dame comes out of nowhere. I know one of our fans who is going to go unnamed is going to love that comment, but I just don't know. I don't see it. I'm not going to bet it, but holy moly, we're taking the under on Ohio State. Football gods have pleased us on the east side. Penn State, Nittany Lions, Walt, 9.5. They pick up a big transfer here. Trey Potts. Remember Trey Potts? Where he come from? Minnesota, where he got run ragged. Can he run ragged better with a Penn State line and a Penn State team, Wall, on the east side?
He can. I question how many of the carries he's going to get. He was very good on Minnesota. He could be just as good on Penn State, but he's got competition again. I mean, he had Ibrahim over there, right, when he was on Minnesota, but Ibrahim was hurt all the time. Now he's got more competition going to Penn State. You know, Singleton, I think he's going to be named the starter. He's going to get the majority of the snaps. So
I agree.
I do believe that Potts is a great runner, and it's great that they got some depth back there. I can't remember what his name is. I'm looking at right now. Oh, Allen. Allen's back there, too.
Creighton Allen, yeah.
Yeah, Creighton Allen's going to be even more snaps than Potts, too. So, yes, I agree Potts is a great running back, but they're going three deep, Woods. They're running three deep. It's going to help this Penn State team, though, especially a James Franklin coach team that, you know, they do pass the ball, but they like to establish that passing game with a run game, keep that secondary, you know, in, keep them honest, then go over the top. So having those three running backs, being able to bring them on the field, never knowing first down, second down, third down, they can run on any down because they could have different backs in there. You can't quite judge your defense based on who's in there and whatnot, because they can all run the football. 9.5 over, easy for me. I'm going over.
Okay, over. 9.5. This is an interesting one. I'm excited to see this year. I'm excited to see Manny Diaz take the coordinator role for defense over at the Nittany Lions. And that's one of the things that I think they're going to have to play really well at to be good. And I do like the overcall, Walt. They just have a strong backfield, especially with Potts now. Holy moly. They have a good, solid, anchored backfield behind Drew Aller, who, by the way, is getting better than Sean Clifford. This reminds me of days in the past when Sean Clifford had good running backs that he could throw to and do crazy things with. And that's what he loved. And I think Aller picked up on that when he was there. So I'm excited to watch this Nittany Lions team. I think they're going to rebound heavily to back what they used to be. I think it's going to be a three-headed dog race in the East in Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. And it's going to be exciting. It's nice to have Penn State back in the mix. Iowa's got to play Penn State this year at Penn State, which is not a fun place to play, by the way. I'm excited to watch that game, and I'm excited to watch Iowa beat their ass again, Wall.
Yeah, me too. And you're looking through there. Well, where's that 10th win that Wall's talking about? I think it's Ohio State. I think that Penn State beats up on Ohio State.
I don't disagree with you. I think they're looking prime at that spot, and I think they're good. I mean, again, AP top 10, you have three of the teams in the East all in that, and Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all in that order. This is going to be a great season for the Big Ten. I'm thoroughly going to enjoy it for the last season with divisions. So moving on, Wall, boiler up, hit the train horn. Purdue is coming through 5.5. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I hate to say under, Woj, because you know how much, you know, I love the Boilermakers. You know, I love the boil up, but the problem we're looking at right here, we mentioned before.
You sleeping in separate beds tonight?
Yeah, I'm not even sleeping in the fucking house. Actually, I shouldn't say that because this episode won't air till tomorrow. So I got one night of good sleep here. I can sleep with my eyes closed anyways without one eye open, but I think I have to go with the under, Woj. I mean, schedule of difficulty, number 5 in the nation. Number 5 in the nation. And I'm not sure.
It's not pretty.
No, it's not pretty. They have a – I don't know that I agree with that number that high, but they – I do agree. They have a very difficult schedule. Fresno State at Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Wisconsin, Illinois at Iowa, oof, Ohio State at Nebraska, at Michigan, Minnesota at Northwestern, the questionable one that they could get, and then Indiana at home to end the season. It's just a tough schedule. I hope they get the over, but I got to go under on this one. Sorry, Mr. Ryan Walters, but Jeff Brohm is no longer there.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. They gave up a lot of points last year per game at 24.7 or 27.4. And in the Big Ten, that's too much, especially in the West Division. Don't like their odds. Sorry, Boilermakers. I'm not boiling up this year. Moving on. Rutgers. Well, the Scarlet Knights, the kryptonite for Ohio State with only an over under of 4.5, but they seem to play well in that one game every year. What are your thoughts on this one, Wal?
Rutgers football team is not a good football team. The numbers at 4.5, looking through the Big Ten, that's the lowest, right? Oh, no, we had a 3.5. Where was it? Indiana was 3.5.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Second lowest. They're expected to finish 12th in the Big Ten. I don't expect many good things about that. Looking through the schedule, I'm sure you're probably looking at it right now. Where is that win they're going to get? The one you're talking about, that I don't think it's Ohio State. I don't think that's the one they're going to get. But where's that win that they just – maybe Penn State? They go to Penn State and just fuck the Big Ten over?
Maybe it's the Michigan – maybe it's the Ohio State game. Who knows?
It's
It's one of those teams just – it's a question mark there. You look at maybe at home versus Michigan State.
That wouldn't be that. At Wisconsin, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not at Iowa.
No.
Yikes is all I got to say about that one.
just turn the bus around.
Can Greg Schiano turn this program around? I don't think so. He hasn't had a winning program since he came back to the sidelines in 2020. So they're managing abysmal points per game on the offense. They're averaging awful points allowed on the defense. So it's just one of those teams that, you know, let's play hard for this game. Let's get our mental game right and be able to come out there and play. I'm sorry, the Rutgers, I got to take the under on this one. It hurts me to say that. I know SBI is telling me the other way. It's a 4.5 in the Big Ten, but I am taking the under. I think they're going to lose some of those early season games against teams they shouldn't lose, and they're going to do it.
Let me give you some information here. We're talking about what team is it that they maybe win. I don't know that they win it, but maybe they perform better. And this is something to keep an eye on. I'm looking at you. You said you didn't know about Greg Schiano, which I would agree. I don't know about him since he came back anyways. Looking at this off of a bye, he's 17-13 against the spread. Their bye this year, next week is Ohio State, that game we were talking about.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I don't know that maybe you take them straight up, but that's something to look. Maybe you look at, you know, taking the spread on that one, and that's the Rutgers game that you bet money on. You got to bet money on Rutgers once throughout the season. It's a rule.
Yeah, and they always play Ohio State strong. So yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that. Well, let's talk more about that coming up in the season. Oh, I love that. That gets the juices flowing for college football betting. Another one we got to talk about are the team up north from us, Wall. That's the Wisconsin Badgers, probably my second favorite team in the college football Big Ten landscape. I don't know if I can say that. My wife will understand, but I have to say my wife is a big Badgers fan, and I have to say go Badgers.
Go Badgers, huh? Does that mean you're
8.5? So I guess I got to take the over. I don't know. I do want to sleep in my house tomorrow. So no, Wisconsin's going to be better though. Well, I think with Luke Fickell there now, we still have Braylon Allen. They pick up a 19-year starter in college football in Tanner Mordecai. He's not 19 years, but he feels like he's trying to eclipse the Sean Clifford at Penn State. He's been there a long time. So I was looking back. He was a true freshman in Oklahoma under Kyler Murray. And I know you don't watch much NFL, but that was Kyler Murray's last season when he won the Heisman and he went to the NFL. That was a long time ago. That was just a long time ago that he was true freshman or Kyler Murray. So it's wild. But he is now transferred from SMU. Tanner Mordecai is a good quarterback, I feel like. And I guess part of that is age, but 8.5 wins for the Badgers. I think they're going to be playing into it's Iowa, Wisconsin. They do have to play Ohio State. Ohio State, they get Ohio State at home, which is good. They get to play at Washington State, which they, that was a game they lost last year that they shouldn't have lost. I think it's one of those that they win this year. I think they lose to Ohio State and Iowa, and I think they roll the tables the other way. So I'm going to take the overall.
I'm still undecided. I'm looking here. I'm looking at Luke Fickell. It threw me off. It had him as a second year here, which I guess technically that's right, because I think they bought out his contract from Cincinnati last year, but he hasn't actually coached, you know, for this Wisconsin team. So we don't know how well they're going to perform under a coach that, you know, Wisconsin plays a different kind of ball than Luke Fickell coaches. Right, Woj? So how well does a program meld with that head coach, whether he's calling the plays or not? You still have to meld with the head coach. So I'm questioning whether that happens. I do agree that Mordecai is a great quarterback. I know some people were putting down Mertz on the podcast the other day that when we recorded that. No one seems to like Mr. Graham Mertz there from Wisconsin. Well, they don't have him anymore, so he's a non-factor. They bring in a definite proven quarterback who's going to get some yards. I bet you're disappointed about that DFS. You know, they used to play in those Thursday, Friday slates where you could get him and just get a ton of points. That's not going to happen anymore. Wisconsin, you know, they're playing on the weekends. They're playing big boy schedules, let me tell you. But that at Minnesota game, that scares me at the end of the year. I don't know that they come through with that one. Where's the other game they lose? I don't know, out of the ones you mentioned, but probably one of them. I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to go under Luke Fickell in his first year here at the big program.
Yeah, it's just I want to say under because it's a questionable, it's question mark. We don't know what's going to happen. They've had such great quarterback or running backs over the years, and they haven't been able to pull it out. They're not known for their wide receivers or tight ends for that matter. Big breakout guys, at least. But I think Tanner Mordecai is one of those guys that if you can put him in the right situation with a backfield like Wisconsin has, it's a perfect storm. He's in his program. He's perfect there. He's coming from SMU, which is a team that primarily threw the ball. Yeah, if they didn't throw it, he ran it. He's going to have to watch out for that in the Big Ten. I'll tell him that. I think he's going to understand that pretty quickly, especially in the West. But I think this is one of those teams that can surprise you. It's one of those games that I am definitely worried about for Iowa, especially considering we are a divided house here at my household. I'm definitely worried about that game. But that being said, I think I'm still going to take the over. I think they are a two-loss team, and we're going to go off of that wall.
Yeah, I mean, they got the good quarterback, and you brought up a good point about how the good quarterback, he will fit into Luke Fickell's program, but they still need that line. That line is built for run block. I mean, they gave up 4 or 5 sacks on average last year, which that's a question mark. So can he run and throw the ball, which, you know, we'll find out if he can or not. We'll see. I hope you're right, to be honest with you, which I'm a big fan of Wisconsin. I hope you're right, but my bet is on the under.
It is a scheme change as well for him because it's not what he's used to. But again, it's one of those things where I think he'll fit in well. And I think it'll make Braylon Allen an even better player if Luke Fickell can figure that out, unlike previous coaches that I'm sure Hardways would definitely agree with. But that's it. Well, that's the Big Ten. What are your overall thoughts of the Big Ten? Who's winning the West? Who's winning the East?
Iowa, Michigan. We meet again in the championship. We turn it around from the last time we met. It's going to be a great season, Woj.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hopefully we don't lose by 50 this time. That would be ideal. But yeah, I do like an Iowa-Michigan end. I think it's going to be a more competitive West than we've seen in recent years. Not just who's going to win more games. I think it's going to be competitive. I think Wisconsin-Iowa,
Nebraska,
maybe Nebraska special team there, coming with a rebuild, new face. I think it's going to be, it's going to feel better to make it to that championship game from the West Division than it has before. So, and then the East, we know there, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, that's going to be exciting to see how that pans out. But again, I think Michigan, Iowa, and then probably as much as I hate to see this, I think it's Michigan into the playoffs. I think that's honestly one of the best chances for Big Ten, even though Iowa's defense, man, if they play like they did last year and their special teams played like they did this last year and we can get some offense, they're going to turn some heads. Excited to see if our offensive coordinator can turn his head around and figure it out.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, Woj, and we went through a lot of, we didn't name every single full schedule, but we went through a lot of the schedules. One thing I want to bring up, and I hope this gets out there, I hope that people start to understand this. The end of the year, when we're talking college football playoff, we're talking the selection committee. One of the big things we heard up brought up by a lot of, you know, college football experts, you know, Herb Street, I've heard him say it many, many times, that it's about the team that's playing the best football. When we look at these Big Ten schedules, come end of the year, they're playing very good football teams. They don't have, in the SEC, you get that Chattanooga that Alabama's playing the second to last game of the season. How do you judge how good a football team is at the end of the year when you're seeing them play a team like Chattanooga? The Big Ten does not have that. They play competition through the end. And I think that's one thing that needs to be brought up. It needs to be understood, and it needs to penalize conferences like the SEC that schedule that second to last game, you know, a team that they're just going to run over. It's not respectable. And I think it hurts the argument of, well, what team is playing best right now?
I think it just hurts college football as a whole too, Wall. When you look at it at the end of the day, who the hell wants to watch the first couple weeks of college football if no one's playing anybody? How exciting is opening weekend now that in the last 4 or 5 years, we've gotten some decent games to start week zero and then into the conference play? But it just hurts college football as a whole. I think it's transitioning. Well, there's obviously transition going on in college football with the conference realignments. And I think, like we've talked about before, named that in the next, I think, long outlook, it's going to be a double conference. That's it. And then everybody else around it is whoever. But, and that will promote better teams because it's going to feel more like the old system where, you know, you're ranked at the beginning of the season and then you have to play good teams to move up. And if you don't play good teams, then that penalizes you heavily. So I do like the way the Big Ten does it. There's still some cupcakes in there. There's still some teams that play cupcakes, but there's always that big marquee game in the off season that's exciting. A lot of big Pac-12, Big Ten games. You have teams like Ohio State playing Notre Dame. And I think in the coming years, they're actually going to be playing Texas. I think they have a 4-year contract with Texas, a home away, when they're going to be in the SEC, which will be exciting. So I think more teams should do that. I think it makes it exciting for the fans and it makes it exciting for college football all around to kind of see what your team can do or what your conference can do versus the other.
Now all I'm saying is it should be at the end of the year. We should see when these teams are in prime shape, when the voters are looking at them most heavily, because they do weigh most recent performance.
Yeah,
that's when the game should occur. I love seeing week one games. I love how they happen. But as far as, you know, it's hard to look that far ahead. I just think end of the year, Big Ten does it right. Let your people see how well the teams perform against real football teams. Great scheduling by the Big Ten.
Yep. Thank you, Rundown Nation. That is the end of our conference previews. Hopefully you enjoyed them. We will be starting our normal podcast next week, next Wednesday.
Next Thursday will be the first episode.
Thursday will be the first episode. We'll highlight week zero. We'll be talking about that Notre Dame Navy game, Wall, for sure.
For sure. Some disagreement. Guarantee it.
Excited to get into the college football season. Thank you for listening, Rundown Nation. I am Woj.
And I'm all.
And we are out.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram's college_football_rundown. Our website, which you can get all our podcasts and information and contact me and Kyle on, is collegefootballrundown.com. Thanks again for listening, everybody. I'm Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. We're out.